C2PR. Number 17A.
So we have started out by considering the prayer of principle, and we have seen that principle is always that which gathers together everything into one. Here we will see that it gathers together the attitudes, the qualities of attitudes into one. And that when those qualities are really gathered together and have been made our own, that brings out an honest attitude, because it's always directed to the one central principle. Perhaps just to have a short preview on it, we will see that here she will show that everything within us must be in conformity with the principled attitude, that comes out all over. That if we have just one principle, and that we let that one principle live in us, that then everything within us must come into conformity with that principle. So that thinking, feeling, desiring, doing, speaking, sensing, loving, all those qualities must come in conformity with that one principle. They must be polished so that they are congruent, that they are in conformity, that they are in accord with that one central principle. So that we feel that everything that happens within us is honest. That term honesty gets a new meaning here. It isn't so much a legal honesty that is required here, but much more that human honesty towards the divine. So that everything within us harmonizes, and therefore should really be that which heals us of a split mentality, of a split consciousness, of a split personality, that we feel one way and think another way, which is mostly the case for a long, long time, or even perhaps all through life, that we know something about principle, know what reality is, but that the inner feeling is not always geared to that quality, not always in conformity to that quality, because it is not just thinking that makes it, it's feeling, sensing, loving, all those qualities which are not strictly under the control of thinking rightly. And these qualities take time to develop and to be nurtured until finally we feel we have a principled attitude. Not that we think rightly about principle, but that it is a principled inward attitude. And actually then she shows that if we have that attitude, that is spiritual power. That only on that ground then really our treatment or our attitude can be demonstrated and has spiritual power, the power of principle. All right, so let's see what we have here. And just again read the text slowly. And as I read it, I always tell you what I think. That's the main part, because reading, everybody can read. But the question is how one reads when one translates it right away into categories and orders. So she goes out by that very definite statement, the danger from prayer is that it may lead us into temptation. That's a very fundamental statement for the whole chapter, but especially for the fourth prayer. We'll see that this tone repeats itself and repeats itself. It says, more or less, that just to pray doesn't do the trick. Praying as such doesn't say anything. That's neither good nor evil. Prayer must have a quality. In order to have a quality, in order to be good. And we must give to prayer that qualities, those qualities. So she will start and show what those qualities of prayer must be, so that they are not a danger to us, but that they are a blessing to us. But she said that by it we may become involuntary hypocrites. See, that's the counterfeit of honesty, hypocrisy. And therefore, the whole subject of prayer will point out how to be careful that hypocrisy doesn't creep in. What are those qualities that are necessary? It says, by it we may become involuntary hypocrites, uttering desires. So we have the first prayer. The first prayer was all the prayer of desire. So if that desire is not rightly assimilated, may become a danger in our prayer. That we may be uttering desires which are not real. Spirit. Desires, mind, which are not real, which are unreal. Therefore, those desires that do not contemplate and worship spiritual qualities, the reality of spiritual qualities, and consoling ourselves in the midst of sin with the recollection that we have prayed over it or mean to ask forgiveness at some later day. Can you see another quality is there? And consoling ourselves in the midst of sin that we may ask pardon. That's that superficiality of a prayer in the third prayer of soul. Do you see what she does? She's at the point of principle and says, now, you already know three things. You know the prayer of true desire. You know already the prayer of spirit with the spiritual qualities, which are the only thing that gives real fruits. And you already know the prayer of soul, which says you can't speculate with God, you can't fool God. There is no discount in the law of justice. You can't get around it. So, do you see what she says? If those three true prayers are not in our consciousness, then we are hypocrites. Then our prayer is hypocritical. Can you say hypocritical? It's not honest. Has not the quality of principle. Is that clear? So hypocrisy is fatal to religion. Now, what I want to bring out is this. We have read that for many times. And we have read it and read it, said yes, yes, yes. But could we see it as structured? Could we see that actually what she says is not just a few nice terms, but that she says, well, there is danger in prayer. And we become a hypocrite. That's a counterfeit of principle. When? And she gives the reason. When? When you don't go along with the prayer of mind, and not along with the prayer of the spirit, and not along with the prayer of soul. So she goes back and relates it and gives a relational sense of honesty or hypocrisy by relating it to the text, not to what we think. What we think is uttering desires which are not real and consoling ourselves. It's bringing the first three subjects up to the fourth and say, the first three subjects, if you keep that, then that is your inner principle. That is your honest, consistent, powerful inner principle. We will see, I say that in advance, we'll see that Mrs. Eddy now, in every subtone of principle, she always shows that every subtone is a principle when you incorporate the first, the second, and the third prayer. See, this gives you a law. This is no more just nice preaching, but it's showing a law. I repeat it again. Shows the law of principle that says, go along mind, spirit, soul. Then you are honest. Then you are not the hypocrite. All right. So we have the epitome here. And perhaps before we take the epitome, we have that question about the whole fourth prayer. How is a principle-like attitude established? So you have principle and you say, now, how do you establish within you a principle-like attitude of prayer? Of prayer, we must say that. So instead of just saying, well, you must be principled, and I say, oh yes, that's true, we must be principled. I have learned that principle is important in Christian Science, and that we must be impersonal and principled. Yes, I learned that, so I must be principled. So I must not be personal. But that has no truth content within itself. It doesn't say what principled implies. Whereas Mrs. Eddy would now, through the seventh subtone, show what it implies. Namely, that it implies those seven subtones, but each one implies that you have to go through mind, spirit, soul. So we'll see that. So the very first one is principle as mind, where we say, how is a principle-like attitude established? Namely, by praying according to an honest desire. That desire must be honest. When is that desire honest and not hypocritical? When you have a desire like God, like the first prayer, a desire to know God as He is. When we have a desire of spirit, when we know that's the only desire, and that into that desire we must put everything spiritually good and real. And then it is an honest desire. And in the third place, that honest desire is only then an honest desire when it also incorporates the prayer of soul, when it is sinless and not sinful, speculative, consoling ourselves that we can demand pardon any time and God will grant us. So only then the desire within us is honest. Principle as mind. Yes? So we go further and ask ourselves now, what further quality must be expressed in order that we are honestly praying? So we come to, again, a very different point. It says here, it's a long paragraph, or two long paragraphs, so I read it a bit quicker. And a wordy prayer may afford a quiet sense of self-justification. You see, self-justification is the counterfeit of principle. It's a quality of the first degree, a wrong quality. So it's not really a principled quality, a very personal quality, that self-justification. So I can hear at once again that this is a prayer of principle. And so I get a quiet sense of self-justification, though it makes the sinner a hypocrite. You have always the hypocrite coming in, dishonesty. So we never need to despair of an honest heart. Can you hear? Hypocrisy, honesty. But what on earth is an honest heart? That's the question. But there is little hope for those who come only spasmodically face to face with their wickedness and then seek to hide it. Hide it. Hypocrisy. So hypocrisy or a dishonest heart is when he only comes spasmodically face to face with their wickedness. Their prayers are indices which do not correspond with their character. Can you see? Correspond is always a touch of principle. The unity, the agreement. Huh? So what does it mean when a prayer does not correspond with the character? There is no agreement between them. The inner and the outer do not conform. There is no conformity between the character, the inner feeling, and what we say outwardly in a prayer. So you get at once a sense that the prayer of honesty is a prayer where the inward attitude corresponds with the outward exposition of that attitude. So they hold secret, again secret, hypocrisy, fellowship with sin, and such externals are spoken of by Jesus as like unto whited sepulchres, full of all uncleanliness. Can you see? She depicts here in various ways that there is no conformity of the inner and the outer. The inner may be all wrong, and then you whiten your sepulchre, you put some nice polish on top of it that it looks very good, huh? And then you can't detect what is under the polish. So they don't agree. The inner and the outer don't agree. That's hypocrisy. And you can hear the tone of spirit. You see that there is a false firmament there. False firmament should only separate the right from the wrong, but hypocrisy tries to make the right and the wrong one. To one. Again, she brings in that inner and outward agreement. If a man, though apparently, only apparently, fervent and prayerful, is impure and therefore insincere, what must be the comment upon him? So if the inner attitude is impure, if he reached the loftiness of his prayer, there would be no occasion for comment. If the inner would correspond to the loftiest of his life, they would correspond. They would not be a hypocrite. But if they do not agree, then it is hypocrisy. So if we feel the aspiration, humility, gratitude, and love, can you hear those wonderful spiritual qualities which we had in the second prayer? If we feel the aspiration, humility, gratitude, and love which our words express, if there is, can you see here, does correspond? The words, the expressed words, correspond with the aspiration, humility, gratitude, and love. And it corresponds with that what we feel. We have mind, spirit, soul. Then it is an honest prayer. Then everything agrees. Then mind, spirit, soul agree. This God accepts, so that is a true prayer. And it is wise not to try to deceive ourselves or others. Again, the hypocrisy of deception. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed. Again, you have the covering. Can you hear? It goes right through covered, secret, and so on, which makes a hypocrite. Professions and audible prayers are like charity in one respect. They cover the multitude of sin. Can you see again? The inner and the outer do not correspond. Praying for humility with whatever fervency of expression. Again, if we turn away from the poor, we are not ready to receive the word of him who blesses the poor. Again, a discrepancy between the outer and the... We confess to having a very wicked heart. We confess it and ask that it may be laid bare before us. And we are insincere naturally, but do we not already know more of this heart than we are already willing to have our neighbors see? It's no more covered. Can you see? It's a long passage with many, many illustrations. She sees that she has to take quite a few illustrations from everyday life to bring out what honesty is. Honesty is that the inner and the outer picture, the outer expression, is in conformity. Yes. So again, when we look over this whole tone, she shows as a main point that honesty is when the inner and the outer are not separated by a false firmament, but are united. But that gives you a sense of spirit, of the only, that there is only one nature, and that one nature must consist of the inner attitude and the outer expression. And then, taking that principle as spirit, she says, but what is it actually that makes that unity? And so she goes right through the three prayers and says, well, first, there must be a desire. Must there be that conforms to the words? As in mind, the conformity is of desire and words. Then in spirit it is the inner and the outward expression must conform, spirit, and then soul, that the inner and outward expression must be sincere and not superficial, at the third prayer. And it's all in here. So actually, can you see what she does? And as we go on, you will see it clearer and clearer. What she does, she has her elements, her numerals, her numbers, as in mathematics. She has values. She has definite values. She has definite values of mind. She has definite values of spirit. And she has definite values of soul. And so she says, if I have those three definite values, I have a fourth value, namely a principled value. So that principled value is always consisting of mind, spirit, and soul values. So if I have spiritual mathematics, that was her side note, what do? I always calculate with what has already been established in prayer. She doesn't go and takes something that has not been established in prayer, says, I build on that. She builds always on the preceding, and always with the same values. It's always either desire, or it is qualities, or it is the sinlessness. And you see, whereas we would perhaps just say, well, that's what we need. We need just the true desire, and what we need are true spiritual qualities, and what we need is sinlessness. That's all right. But what she does, she calculates those qualities constantly by relating them constantly in a new way. It's a real calculus of qualities, not of ideas, but of true qualities. Therefore, she never goes outside the system. She always goes on building up the system by taking on what has already presented before in the system. And that is the reason why we said this week quite often that actually our study, let's say our praying, let's say our pondering, let's say our meditating, whatever we may call it, that which really enables that which is true within us can grow by itself, that can be nurtured just by always going over what we know in an ordered way. And not that we feel there will be spiritual growth by thinking, well, there is something more to it. What is that something more to it? I must learn something more than this. I must reach out for something that is higher than that. That's usually our attitude, you see. And you say, that which we know is not enough. There is something more to it. What is that more? Who gives me that more? Where can I learn that more? And so people go all around in the country and listen to this, listen to that, read this book, read that book, and so on. Where can I get more? Prayer says, this is all wrong. The method is all wrong. The method is like Einstein did. He knew that trick. He said, I was thinking over Newton's law 1,000 times and 1,000 times to think it over. Is it really consistent or can it be falsified? He was thinking over what he knew, and that was bringing him forward. And our attitude of spiritual growth is actually this, that we take that which we have established, which we know is true, and if it's only a little bit, and take that and ponder it. See?